First Corinthians chapter 3 and one verse here, and then we'll jump about many places in God's word tonight. But the Bible says in verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Church, the foundation is laid. It's not being laid. It's not being renovated. It's laid. It's Jesus Christ. We don't need a new church. We don't need a re-imaged church. We don't need an emerging church. We don't need a declining church. We have a church. Foundation laid 2,000 years ago, and that foundation's a strong foundation, a sure foundation, a right foundation. We don't need to demolish it and build something again after the image of modern man. It's one foundation, not several. It's Jesus Christ. The foundation is not a church. The foundation is not a denomination. The foundation is not a particular doctrine or a pet belief. The foundation is Jesus Christ. In our day, Baptists can't get along. Christians as a whole can't get along because they want a fellowship around a pet doctrine. They want a fellowship around a pet set, a point of emphasis. They want a fellowship around some minister, dead or alive. The foundation is Jesus Christ. Another foundation can no man lay. You're wasting your time. You try to lay some other foundation. Men didn't lay the foundation. Men build thereon, but they don't lay the foundation. Somebody came to this town in 1958, and they started a local assembly that was representative of and attached to the foundation that was already laid. Somebody comes to town today and tries to start some new thing, some unheard of thing, some strange and peculiar thing, then you stay away from it. We don't want some new thing. We want the 2,000-year-old thing that works, has worked, will work, right up to the rapture, out into eternity. The foundation is laid. Now, I want to show you something. I'm not going to be talking down to you. I don't mean to be condescending. But I want to show you from the Bible about this foundation. Come to Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9, great place to get truth about Jesus Christ. Exodus chapter number 9, other foundation can no man lay. The Bible clears up all heresy. The Bible clears up all controversy. The Bible clears up all doctrinal dispute. Reason people can't settle anything is the Bible's not their authority. Their opinion's their authority, or their denomination's their authority, or some preacher friend is their authority. It shouldn't be that way. Look at Exodus 9:18. The Bible says, "Behold, tomorrow, about this time, I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now." Notice Egypt had a foundation. There was a time when there was no Egypt. Then there was a day when Egypt began. And from that time forward, there was an Egypt. That's real deep, isn't it? I just want you to understand, the foundation is the starting point in history for Egypt. That nation had a starting point. It's called a foundation. Look at Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, children of Israel come out of the wilderness. They cross the Jordan and march around Jericho 6 times. Nothing happens. On the 7th day, they march around it time. And then they blow those trumpets and shout. The walls come tumbling down. Amen. And here's the warning that God gives in Joshua 6 and verse 26. Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, "Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it." So Jericho collapses. There is no Jericho. The warning is, if you ever again try, if you build another city, a new city, and call it Jericho, the day you start that city will be the foundation of Jericho. Okay, it'll be the starting place for Jericho. Egypt, the nation, had a starting place. It's called the foundation. Jericho, the new Jericho, had a starting place. It's called the foundation. Look in your Bible in 1 Kings chapter 5. 1 Kings chapter number 5. "For centuries, the children of Israel worshiped God at a tabernacle. And then one day, they are going to build a permanent structure, a large structure called a temple. And the Bible says in after that temple's built, Solomon's going to build himself a house, a big house, fancy house. Now watch this. In verse number 17 or 16, beside the chief of Solomon's officers, which were over the work, 3,300 which ruled over the people that wrought in the work. And the king commanded, and they brought great stones, costly stones, and huge stones to lay the foundation of the house. There is no house. And then one day there is. There is no temple. And then one day there is. The day that temple begins is called the foundation. Okay, now why did we go to all those verses? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:11, the foundation of the church is Jesus Christ. Is that right? Okay, if there's no Egypt before the foundation, if there's no New Jericho before the foundation, if there's no temple before the foundation, there is no church in the Old Testament that carries over into the New Testament. There is no church started by John the Baptist that he hands over to Jesus. And there's no church started by Paul in Acts 9 or 15 or 28 or anywhere else. The church starts with Jesus Christ. I hope that's not controversial to anybody here tonight. If it is, then you don't have a controversy with me. You have a controversy with the clear statements of the Bible. The foundation of the New Testament church is not John baptizing. The foundation of the New Testament church is not Paul writing epistles. The foundation of the New Testament church is not Moses bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt and morphing that thing into Catholicism or Protestantism. The thing starts with Jesus Christ. He is the foundation of the church. Amen. I don't understand all our brethren fighting and arguing about when the church started, who started the church, and what's the church built upon. It's pretty clear. No temple, now there's a temple. No new Jericho, now there's new Jericho. No Egypt, now there's Egypt. The Bible says in Psalm 105 that God laid the foundation of the earth. So there wasn't one, and then there was one. So we're not God trying to fix the mess he made in the Israel kingdom era. We're not Judaism morphed into Christianity. This thing started with Jesus Christ. It didn't start with John. It didn't start with Paul. It didn't start with Peter. It didn't start in 1958 in Ardmore, Alabama. This church started with Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go in our Bibles to Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28, little Bible study this evening. Isaiah 28 and Ephesians chapter number 2. You say, when you're done with this message, I'm going to come argue with you about it. I won't hear you. I've been given scriptural authority to not even pay any attention to what you're saying. We might not just drive you out. We might stand by and watch some people beat you. He left that part out because he wasn't sure how to make the application. But Isaiah 28, this is 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. God did not have to come up with plan B. Jesus Christ was plan Alpha and plan Omega. Now watch this. Isaiah 28, verse number 15. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death. That's a bad idea. And with hell are we at agreement. That's a bad idea. You know, this world, they are in league with death. And they side with hell. What happened in Isaiah 28 is God's people joined up. You know what you need? You've had it for 60 years. You know what you need for another 60 years, Lord, and come back? You need to refuse all overtures from death to enter into agreement with them. You need to reject all overtures from hell to get in league with them. We'll go to your parades and preach the gospel. We're not marching in your parades. We'll go into all the world and tell them about Jesus Christ. We're not going to let the world in here. But that's what Israel did. And so he says, when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. That's what they thought. The devil leave us alone if we serve the devil. We have made lies our refuge. Under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Man, that's what the modern church is doing. They're linking up with the devil and thinking somehow that's going to keep the devil from getting their kids and their families and their churches. What foolishness. 16, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. You know what God said? I got an alternative to death, a cornerstone. I got an alternative to hell, a cornerstone. I got an alternative to people claim my name and compromise with the world and the flesh and the devil, a cornerstone. If Israel's going to go the way of death and Israel's going to go the way to hell, I'll just build something new. 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, God said, I'm not going to try to fix you guys. I'm going to build something else. I'm going to lay a foundation stone. God zeroes in on something new. God zeroes in on building. Said, I hadn't built something since I built the heavens and the earth. I think I built something new. You guys want to hang out with death? Go hang out with death. You guys want to make a league with hell? Go make a league with hell. I'm going to build something. Now watch this, Ephesians chapter number 2. You say, what do you think that is? God said 700 years B.C., he's going to lay a foundation stone. What do you think that is? Verse 19, Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore you no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. There it is. Bible with Bible, Scripture with Scripture, Old Testament with the New Testament. God said, I'm going to start something new. I'm going to build something to last. I'm going to build something that death won't get and hell won't get. And I'm going to build it on my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he said. There's no question. John the Baptist is not the chief cornerstone. Simon Peter is not the chief cornerstone. Apostle Paul, not the chief cornerstone. Jesus Christ is that chief cornerstone. Praise the Lord. It starts with him. Starts with him. Hallelujah. You say, well, you know, I've read this book about Baptist history one time. So have I. I read these things about church history. I have too. But we start with the Bible. We don't start with books written by men to exalt their group of men. We start with the Bible. God said, I'm going to build something. I'm not going to build it with a sorry, sinful man. Build it with my Son. He's the chief cornerstone. Praise the Lord. Now, look at the next verse. In whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So this interesting thing. That temple back there in the Old Testament, that physical building, is an illustration given by God. It's a picture given by God of a spiritual building, a new building that he's going to build here in the New Testament day. See that? Temple, temple, building, building, stone, stones. They match. But they're different in one particular amazing way. Look with me in 1 Kings 7. Let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 7. And Revelation chapter 20. 1 Kings chapter 7 and Revelation chapter number 20. I could just read you these verses, but I like to hear those pages turning. 1 Kings 7. If you got you don't have your Bible on your phone. If you have the text of the Bible on your phone or on a computer, I want somebody to develop what they call those an app. So when you push the button, it'll make the sound of pages turning. Because I don't want to get to a place where we lose that sound in our Bible-believing churches. I like the sound of that, people looking for scriptures. And you listen for the one last person who's, I got Revelation, but where's the King's book? That's okay, we all did that. We all did that. 1 Kings 7. Now, this is Solomon's house, but it's like unto the temple, same way. 7:10, the foundation was of costly stones, even great stones. stones of 10 cubits and stones of 8 cubits. And above were costly stones after the measures of huge stones and cedars. Some had put a lot of work in those stones. Those stones are said to be very expensive and cost a great deal of money. And back here, look in chapter 5, this is the temple now, that what we just read, Solomon's house. Now watch this, in verse number 15, Solomon had 70,000 that bear burdens and 80,000 hewers in the mountains. Beside the chief of Solomon's officers which were over the work, 3,300 which ruled over the people that wrought in the work. And the king commanded, and they brought great stones, costly stones, and huge stones to lay the foundation of the house. And Solomon's builders and Hiram's builders did hew them, and the stone squarers, so they prepared the timber and the stones to build the house. Isn't that amazing? They tell us that these stones, tremendous, huge stones, were cut in these quarries by workmen and transported from the quarry to the temple site. And they tell us that they just slid right into place. They were paired with such precision, and everyone just went right in where it belonged. What a thing that must have been to see that great building going up. See, those the overseers must have said, "Are you sure these are the plans? These stones are gigantic." "Oh yes, oh yes." "He wants them that large," and they'd cut them just to specs, and then they carry them over there. And the people must have been watching. They're all out there with their phones taking pictures of the rocks as they come in and as they put in place. What an amazing thing that must have been. Now look in Revelation, chapter number 20. Here's another great building being put together, this one by God himself. Revelation 20, and when you get that, go to chapter 21, and we'll be where we're supposed to be. Revelation 21. Now look at this great city here, New Jerusalem. Verse 16 says, "The city lieth 4 square, 12,000 furlongs square." That's gigantic, huge city, 15 miles across, 15 miles up and down, gigantic thing. And the Bible says in verse 19, "The foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite." You say, "Is that how you pronounce those words?" It is how I pronounce those words. It is. You pronounce them any way you want to. Just say them confidently and go with it. "The eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth C, the 11th jacinth, they just called them, they put a number 10 on them. 11th adjacinth, the 12th an amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls, and several gate was one pearl," and so forth. Now, think about this. That temple, probably, the most magnificent building that men ever built upon this earth. Big, huge, think about this now. Big, huge, giant building sitting up on a high place, Mount Zion, which slopes away so that as far as you can look in every direction, it's just flat plains and desert rocky land. Then they overlaid the outside of that building with pure gold. And then instead of tiles or shingles, the top, the roof of that thing was pure gold. You know, when the sun is shining in the middle of the day and hitting that building on top of that hill, how many hundreds of miles must you have seen that temple shining on that hill on Mount Zion, the house of God lighting up the countryside in every direction? What amazing thing that must have been. Now think about that New Jerusalem. The Lamb is the light inside that city. The walls are clear, and yet they're made up of all these 12 multicolored gemstones. So this city, 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles, with Jesus Christ who shines brighter than the noonday sun inside of it, shining out through those gemstones, the whole universe is lit up with color. Now it's darkness. It's just nothing out there but dark and a little pin light here and there where there's a star. But when Jesus Christ is sitting on his throne, it's reds and greens and blues and yellows and oranges and hallelujah. What a thing that'll be. And yet, every stone that was cut out and put in that temple was dead when it was brought out of the quarry, and it was dead when they put it in the temple, and it was dead when the Romans came and tore that building down, and the Babylonians came and tore that. It's dead. Joining that place, though it was God's house sanctified for God, could not bring one stone to life. When God Almighty builds his new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, when he puts that jacinth in its place, it's dead when he puts it there, and it's dead when it sets there. It'll be dead forever. It's just a dead stone. It's beautiful. It's part of God's holy city, but it has no life. You know, if you could go to the very house of God and join yourself to that place, it couldn't give you life. You know that every lost person who ever lived and died will go to heaven one day? Will they not all stand at the white throne judgment before Almighty God sitting upon his throne? If you went to heaven, you couldn't get life that way. The temple had no life to give. The New Jerusalem, the holy city, has no life to give. Come to 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. There's something very different about this cornerstone. There's something very different about this building, God's building. There's something very different about the one that has Jesus Christ for its foundation. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted, the Lord is gracious. To whom coming? As unto a living stone. That's not what they laid for the building of the temple. That's not what God laid for the building of the New Jerusalem. But when God was going to build his church, he started with a stone that's alive. Darwin, you're wrong. Life didn't come from those stones, but it comes from this one. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable by Jesus Christ, wherefore also is contained the Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. There he is. Elect, precious, he that believeth on him should not be confounded. Verse 8, a stone of stumbling. 7, I'm sorry. Unto you therefore which believe, he's precious. That's me. I believe. How about you? But on them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumbled at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. How about that? That ye should show forth the praise of him which called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. How can all of that be true? Look at verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. Look at this. When they cut those great rocks out of that quarry back there in 1 Kings and brought them up that hill, and the man said, what is this? This is the house of God. What will happen here? God will reside in this house. What will people do here? They will worship God here. And they slid that stone right into its place and they fitly framed it together, and it was as dead when it got there as it was in the quarry. One day somebody went out in the quarry, witnessed you on the job, knocked on your door and told you about Jesus, took a hammer and chisel on a Sunday morning and preached some of the devil out of you. And one day you let that Holy Ghost pick you up out of that rock pile and bring you to Jesus Christ. And when he slid you right into place, when he put you right where you'd be fitly framed together with all those other stones, you know what happened? The life from that cornerstone surged up into you. And you became a living stone. Amen. Praise God. This building is better than the temple. This building is better than the New Jerusalem. If you joined God's ordained religion, you couldn't get life. If you went to God's heaven, you couldn't get life. But if you come to Jesus Christ, he'll take something as dead as a rock and put eternal life in it. Hallelujah. What a building. What a building. You didn't get life and then get in the building. God slid you in that building. You came to life. A lively stone. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? What a thing. Now, come with me back to Ephesians 20 just for a minute. Ephesians 20. That's the Amplified Version. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 and Hebrews chapter number 6. So, well, Brother James, that's true. Then which of these churches is the church? Well, ours, of course. No, I don't. You can understand why there's some confusion among people in the world. People say, you know, you got to be part of the church, and there's 400 different organizations call themselves the church. Now watch this. Ephesians 2, verse number 20. Are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, 1 Corinthians 3 said, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. How can Jesus Christ be the foundation? And yet Ephesians says the apostles and prophets are the foundation. I'm glad you asked. Look at Hebrews chapter number 6, present truth for the one body. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation. The foundation? Now wait a minute. What's the foundation? You say, well, it's Jesus Christ. No, God said it's Jesus Christ. Keep reading. Of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. You know what God calls that? He calls that the foundation. Now, come on, now, stay with me. There's only one foundation, it's Jesus Christ. That foundation, not just the chief, God put the chief cornerstone in place. He had the apostles lay the foundation. What is the foundation? It is the apostolic doctrines regarding the person of Jesus Christ. Which church is the church that it belongs to God? Which church is the church as Jesus Christ's chief cornerstone? Well, it's the one whose Jesus Christ matches what the apostles taught about Jesus Christ. If the apostles and prophets of the New Testament said he's God manifest in the flesh, and the Watchtower crowd says he's not, wrong church. If the apostles and prophets of the New Testament say Jesus Christ is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the creator of the heavens and the earth, and the bicycle boys say he's Satan's brother who won the wrestling match, wrong church. If Christ died once, that's what the apostles said. Paid for all sins for all time, that's what the apostles said. And somebody else says you kill him every Sunday morning and eat his body and drink his blood like a bunch of cannibals. Wrong church! How do you know which Jesus is the cornerstone? You have the apostolic doctrines set forth by the apostles and prophets of the New Testament church. You don't line your belief up with your denomination or your headquarters or your favorite preacher or your family or some dream you had or some peace you have in your heart. What saith the Scripture? So our foundation is the Jesus Christ of the New Testament epistles. the Jesus Christ of the apostles and prophets of the New Testament church. I ask you, are you on that foundation? Are you a Christian? Yes. When did you get saved? I got baptized when I was 8. Wrong foundation. Are you a Christian? I joined the church here some years ago. I really liked the church. Great dinners. Wrong foundation. You got to make sure your foundation matches what the apostles said about Jesus Christ, what the prophets of the New Testament church said about Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm on that foundation. I got life from that chief cornerstone. You on that foundation? Did you get life from that chief cornerstone? All right, look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Oh, I did not know. I did not know. When I got saved those 40 plus years ago, I did not know what was ahead of me. I didn't know what professing Christians would do to me, and I did not know some of the things I would do to professing Christians. I had no idea what some of those doctors' reports were going to be. I had no idea what some of those family issues and crises were going to be. Honestly, honestly, you've got to thank God that He called us to walk by faith and not by sight. If He had showed you a year ago what was going to happen in the past year, you'd have quit. Many of you would have quit. If He'd have showed you 10 years ago what the next decade had in store for you, you'd have run away from it. And yet here we are. Here we are. Through the many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. Why is that? 2 Timothy chapter 2. Watch this. In verse number 17 or 16, shun profane and vain babblings. Hadn't we heard our share of that since we got saved? They will increase unto more ungodliness. Did you ever think the churches would be as ungodly as they are today? And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. We got well-known, famous, the famous preachers when I got saved, nationwide known preachers. You can like them or not. You can find fault with me for liking them or not. Billy Graham told people how to get saved. Jerry Falwell told people how to get saved. Oliver Green, Lester Roloff told people how to get saved. You know who you have now? Osteen, woman preacher, Meyer. The leading voices of so-called Christianity in your nation speak words that eat as doth a canker. They're eroding what was left of Christianity in our country. You know that's true. Who concerning the truth averred, saying the resurrection passed already, and overthrow the faith of some. You have ministers and preachers on the internet devoting themselves to overthrowing the faith of church members and Christians. You know it's true. Nevertheless, in spite of all that, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Can I say to you, I am standing tonight in the grace, in the faith, in the doctrine that I stood upon 40 plus years ago when I got saved, and it's not because I'm a good stander. My knees have buckled. My spine has collapsed. My heart has failed. My mind has been confused and confounded. My spirit has been crushed and broken. But this foundation I'm on just won't give way. It just holds me in place. I want to fall to the right and fall to the left. I want to collapse into nothing. I want to run away. And the foundation just stands sure. Praise the Lord. This building's fitly framed together. Babylon can't tear it down. Rome can't tear it down. Bows and arrows can't pierce holes in it. Artillery fire can't break it. I am standing tonight because the foundation is sure. Praise the Lord. I don't know what you're facing physically or emotionally or spiritually or church-wise. I don't know. But something's going to come along. That if you could be moved and you could be shaken, you would be moved and you would be shaken. But the foundation standeth sure. I've not always been sure. I've not always stood, and I've certainly not always stood sure. But here I am, because the foundation standeth sure. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter number 6. Preach a whole series of messages tonight. Just go ahead and get them out of the way. Luke chapter 6. Get them out of the way. That sounds disrespectful. Hurry through them. How's that? Luke 6 verse 47. Whoso cometh to me and heareth my sayings, have you done that? I've done that. And doeth them, have you done that? Me either. Well, some. I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. I like that. Wait, who laid the foundation? God did. Who built the house? God did. Now, I'm speculating here. Everything else I've said tonight is absolute truth. This, I hope. This is speculation. He dig deep. You know what I think? I think God dug in this earth and said, there's a family. And watched what Adam and Eve did in that garden and said, I can't put the foundation there. And he dug a little deeper. And he said, there's man's conscience. And he watched the whole thing into Noah's flood. And he said, I can't build a foundation there. And he dug a little deeper. And he said, well, there's Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. That's patriarchs, man. That's pretty good. Let's see how that works. No, that won't do it. And God just kept digging through the law and through the kingdom and through the prophets. And he got all the way down and said, son, there's nothing down there I can build on. Would you go down there? And Jesus said, if that's what it takes. And down he came, and after digging through 4,000 years of men trying everything men could try, God said, right there on Mount Calvary, right there in that garden tomb, I'll lay the foundation, my son, Jesus Christ. And when God digged deep and laid that foundation, he built a house. Now watch. And when the flood arose, well, who thought that was coming? I'm saved. I believe the Bible. I quit drinking. Me and my girlfriend got married. I got rid of all my worldly friends. I'm going to church now. Flood coming. Flood coming. Well, no, I've been given to missions. I've been tithing. I say my prayers every night. Flood coming. No. I got rid of my modern versions. I'm in a King James. Oh, I mean, that's got to give me some protection, doesn't it? Flood coming. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house. Which house? The house that was built the right way. The house that was built on the right foundation. The house that should have been built. It doesn't prevent the floods. It doesn't prevent the storms. They beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. How about that? You know what getting saved, becoming a lively stone, you know what to do for you? It will not exempt you from physical troubles. It will not exempt you from emotional troubles. It will not exempt you from financial troubles. It will not exempt you from family troubles. It will not exempt you from church troubles. But I'll tell you what it'll do. When the floodwaters go down and the mud is all over town and the wreck and ruin and the devastation are everywhere to be seen, there'll be one house standing there. Amen. Not that didn't go through the flood, but that didn't collapse into ruin when the flood came. It will not be owing to the people inside praying for their lives. it'll be owing to the solid house that is surrounding them. One of those tornadoes gets running up through here, God forbid, hope another one never comes this way, but when it does, your prayers sound the same as they do in here on a Sunday morning when the sun's shining. I see these shelters. You know what's going to get you through that storm? Not your lack of fear. That shelter. That shelter. God's not going to make those tornadoes dodge, save people's. Okay, now you got to turn right here. There's a saved person living there. Now left, left, left. Saved person over there. Right, right, right. No, no, no. Here comes a storm. Right through. That hurricane hits Carolina. It's going to hit churches just like it hits pool halls. You know what's going to get you through the troubles and trials of this life? Not God making the waters go the other way. The house you're a part of, the foundation stone you're attached to, will not crumble and it will not fall.
Amen.
Praise God. I believe Jesus said it this way: upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell, don't even want to know what that is, shall not prevail against what? It. Not you, it. He didn't say the gates of hell won't prevail against believers. He said the gates of hell won't prevail against the rock the believer is fastened to. Praise the Lord. All right, one more. Luke 14. Luke 14. Who laid the foundation? It was God. Who built the house? It's God. Who puts each lively stone in that house? It's God. Would we agree with that? We agree it's the Lord's house? Lord's building? All right, Luke 14. Luke 14 and verse 28. Which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Now stop for a minute. Do you believe God abides by his own commandments? You believe God lives up to his own teaching? Here's what he said: don't start a building you can't finish. Now if he said that to you, you think he's going to live that way? Verse 29. Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. Every one of us has started something and got in over our heads and said, I thought I could do it. I can't do it. Verse 30, saying this man began to build and was not able to finish. God told me, don't start something you can't finish. You'll be a mockery. God told you, don't start something you can't finish. You'll be a mockery. So way, 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 way back, God the Father and God the Son drew up some plans for a holy temple. Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. The doctrines of Christ taught by the apostles and prophets was the foundation of that thing. And everyone that would come to Jesus fit right into place as a lively stone growing up into a house for God to dwell in. Amen. And the Father said to the Son, now Son, before we start, I got to ask you something. You think we can finish it? Yes, sir, I do. Father, no disrespect. Before we start, you think we can finish it? Oh, Son, I know we can. Let me tell you something. Forget what the United Nations thinks. Forget what the news media thinks. Forget what other religions think. Forget what the devil thinks. Forget what you think in your hours of despair. Nobody is going to mock God and say you started a building you couldn't finish. He's going to get this thing done.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yes,
and maybe tonight, There'll be a wagon leaving the quarry with a stone on it. And the workers will say, what's next? And the foreman will say, just put your tools down, boys. That's the last stone we're ever going to cut out of this quarry. They get that thing back to the job site and they slide that thing in. And those workmen say, where's the next one? And the foreman's going to say, we're done. We're done. And out we go. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Other foundation can no man lay, but there doesn't need to be another foundation. One chief cornerstone, we don't need another one. I was a dead rock. Now I'm a living stone. I couldn't get that by joining God's religion, and I couldn't get that by going to God's heaven. I got that when I came to Jesus Christ. He made me a living stone. He'll get me through all the floods of this life. He'll get me through all the trials and storms of this life. He'll finish the building he started. And then as lively stones, you know what we'll do forever? We will offer up praise and worship and thanksgiving to our chief cornerstone.